The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, for many people, an important part of mindfulness meditation is to get a handle on our thinking, to be able to somehow become wise about our relationship to thoughts and thinking. And there are some people who, when we teach mindfulness of thinking, never realize that they're thinking. They just, somehow they're so involved in thoughts that it's the idea of turning to it or knowing even their thinking is kind of almost invisible to them. Thinking can have a huge influence on people. In fact, in some ways, how we think, what we think about, the emotions that go into our thinking, the attitudes that go into our thinking, shape us. Partly because of the how often we will think the same way. It's one thing to have one thought once upon a time. It's another thing to have the same thought repeatedly, the same kind of thought over and over and over again. And it has an impact. It begins to shape our overall attitudes, our approach to life, our understanding, what's going on. So if we're constantly having thoughts that are self-critical. It's one thing for me to, have a simple thought, I didn't drive my car very well today. I actually didn't drive at all today, but I didn't walk very well today. I didn't do a good job walking. That's just a thought. Maybe so, maybe not. But if I kind of repeatedly tell myself, Gil, You didn't walk well. You're an embarrassment to walkers. You should really figure out how to walk. You should really get a walking coach, but you're not. And it's just like, oh, what a bad walker I am, and bad, 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 bad. So that's going to slowly begin to infiltrate and begin to create a mood, or it's going to begin to kind of convince the kind of subconscious mind that it's true, or it's going to start to feel uncomfortable than having these thoughts. And the discomfort of these thoughts kind of give them authority or give them value or truth to them. What we think about affects us. And how we think affects us. And so if we think thoughts of desire all the time, what we want, if we have thoughts of responsibility, it's all up to me, the weight of the world, this is what I have to do. If we have thoughts regularly of judging and being critical of other people, it might be 100% true that all your wise assessment of people and all your criticism, let's give you the benefit of the doubt, maybe it's true. But the impact it has on you to be constantly thinking that way, the stress of it and the weight of it and how it predisposes you to do that over everywhere you go, there's never a chance to have a real decent, wise human relationship with someone else because the mind is always finding the mistakes and what's wrong. What we think, and because most of us will think frequently. And if you're, not only do you think frequently, but if you think this frequently the same kind of thoughts, it has an impact. One of the purposes or values of this kind of practice is to get quiet enough and attentive enough to start seeing something about the nature of our thinking. And some people are surprised by how repetitive their thoughts are. They had never occurred to them until they stopped to pay attention, to be mindful. And they start seeing, wow, I'm having the same kind of thoughts. I'm always critical. I'm always cynical. I'm always wanting something. And there's always been a desire as the primary characteristic of my thoughts. Or one of the great ones to discover is most of my thoughts, one way or the other, are about me. I'm the, you know, it's all about me and being safe or what I want or how I'm seen or what people think about me or defending myself or building myself up or making myself safe. And, wow, I hadn't realized that, you know, I'm limiting the range of my thoughts to me, myself, and mine. So some people say, that will discover that when they, through mindfulness practice, what the aspect of the thinking, what they're thinking about, and the impact of thinking. Some people get lost in thoughts for so much time that they're not really present for themselves in a high-quality way, and they're not present for the world around them in a high-quality way. It's kind of like a virtual reality. Or it's having a filter or a film between me and the world around me. And so you don't really see, you're not really connected. Some people are pulled into that inner world of thought so strongly that it's a real distance between them and the world around them. Some people have such strong thoughts that project them into the world, and they are in the world, but it's with so much projection, so much leaning into it and energy in the thoughts, that even though they're connected, it's not really a good quality connection. It's not really knowing the other person because of the nature of that momentum that goes on. So sitting down to be quiet, sooner or later in mindfulness, we become familiar with this inner activity of thinking. And one of the things that can be useful to discover is that it's not the best place to center yourself in. To take up residence in your thoughts is one option. But it's kind of like taking up residence in a virtual reality or taking up residence on a TV show. You know, it's not really where the lived life is found. And we don't want to dismiss the value of thinking. Thinking is wonderful. And one of the benefits I've had from this practice is I have a very friendly relationship with my thoughts. We get along pretty well, and I kind of enjoy when I decide to think or involved in thinking in a conscious way. I kind of enjoy my thoughts, and they serve me well, and they're part of my life. But I don't. I try not to take up residence in them, so I live in them, as if that's where the world is. So an idea that I find helpful is the idea of where I live and what's peripheral. So where I live is the lived moment here, the experience here. And thoughts about the past, the future, and other things are valuable sometimes, but they're more peripheral. So an example of where I do this is, being on the computer. If I'm on my computer, that's to a great extent, that's the world of thoughts. You know, I'm thinking about what I'm going to write, or it's an email or something else. I'm reading something there. I'm learning something there. I'm involved in some virtual reality there. You know, and it's mediated often through thoughts or that inner cognitive life. And it's easy for people who spend a lot of time on the computer to lose touch with their body. You know, because that's the world is just between mediated between the screen and my eyes and this inner cognitive world. So what I find helpful is to take a good posture. And I take refuge in my posture. I sit up a little bit within reason, you know, in a way I feel connected and grounded in my body. And then I don't lose that as I'm on the screen. And if I start losing it, I'll come back. And I have such a common habit now of being in my body, being present. And so I feel kind of rooted here. If I can really feel rooted here while I'm on the computer, then I don't get lost in that inner world, but I am involved in it. So it's like being anchored, stable. Or it's like being in a strong wind outside, and really putting your feet firmly on the ground so you don't get knocked over. You're here and the wind can go by you. And so you're here. And so there's the same thing with the thinking world. There's a stream of thoughts, the winds of the thoughts that come by, and we can get picked up by that wind and be carried away. But the idea is to kind of feel like we're grounded here in the lived present. And we're not denying thoughts, and we're not pushing them away. We're not allowing them to sweep us away. And so the idea of being grounded in the lived experience of the moment, one of the best places for that is to be in the body. The body, I find, is one of the best resources for living a sane life, for staying present, not getting caught up in thoughts and caught up in emotions and caught up in all the different, you know, winds that can come along, and find some stability here, and let the life that we live in a certain way arise out of, come out of being grounded in the body, or being rooted here in the present moment through the body. Let that be where it comes from. If our life comes, you know, mostly out of our thoughts, if the thoughts are the beginning of our life, I don't know if that's necessarily such a stable and healthy place to have our life flow. The beginning of our life can be in our body. And there's a wonderful way in which our life begins always now. This is really now, it's really the beginning. And so be careful what it begins from. Let it begin from being here in a stable, full way, the lived experience. Don't let it begin unconsciously because you're lost in thought and preoccupied and distant from the lived moment here. It's the lived moment that can be the source of life that is a wise and good life. So we study our thinking from time to time in meditation. It's included as part of the meditation. And so we can see clearly and become wise about it. And we can learn how to be in the right balance with our thoughts, not caught by it, not attached to them, not pushed around by them, but perhaps making space for wise thinking. May your thoughts be beneficial for yourself and for the world around you. So thank you.